We're doing Rav Chanan Wasserman on page Membet. Hakol bidei shamayim chutz meirat shamayim. Right there, in the next one on that page, on page Membet. The Talmud in Tractate Kiddushin tells us, everything is in the hands of heaven, other than the fear of heaven. And the question here is that the Talmud in Tractate Kiddushin quotes Rabbi Eloi. If a person sees that his desire is getting the better of him, he should go to a place where no one knows him. He'll wear black clothing. And he'll wear another layer of black, a black talis. And he'll do like his heart desires. And he should not desecrate the name of heaven in public. And the Rif and Rush in Tractate Moed Katan in Elu Megalchim, they wrote the letter to Rabbi Eloi that we don't rule like Rabbi Eloi. If you guys recall, we learned the backdrop to the story. The story was, you guys remember, there was a sharp rabbi who they ostracized him, they put him in Nidui. Yeah, you guys remember the story? And then the rabbi who put him in Nidui was lying on his deathbed and he came back and asked, No. I don't remember who it was. And I don't see that we have a Moed Katan here. I don't remember who it was. Do you have a Moed Katan there? So he was lying on his deathbed, and he came and asked, will you annul my ostracization? And he said, no. And then he passed away. And they thought to annul his ostracization. And there was an old rabbi who came that day. He hadn't come in ages to the Beis Medrash. And he said, you know, when Rebbe's maid put someone in ostracization, the rabbis wouldn't just do away with it. They respected her ostracization. So our rabbi, he passed away. You're ready to do away with his ostracization? No way. So the rabbi said, wow, this old man hasn't been in the Beis Medrash in such a long time. If he came today, obviously in heaven, they don't want to permit this guy. So they told the young rabbi, no, we're not permitting you. You're still ostracized. And he walked out of the Beis Medrash crying, and a snake came and bit him in his male organ, and he died. And the Talmud says, what did he do wrong? Why was he ostracized? So the Talmud says he did this. What we just learned from Rabbi Eloi. He went to a place where no one knew him. He put on dark clothing. He covered himself in a layer of dark clothing. And then he went and did whatever he wanted. And people were talking about him. Word got back. People heard that he was doing improper things. And so the rabbis ostracized him. They wouldn't let him back into the academy. So from that line in Talmud, it's not so clear. Okay, wait a second. So then maybe we shouldn't ever be allowed to do what Rabbi Eloi said. Because you see this, that they wouldn't let him back in. And the Rif and the Rush, right, that we don't rule like Rabbi Eloi. We don't rule that you're allowed to go and deal with it. Dekaimelan, because our rule is, Hakol bidei shamayim chutz meirat shamayim. The reasoning the Rif and the Rush give is that everything's in the hands of heaven except for the fear of heaven. In other words, we never give a person an out. A person can't say, I see, I'm going to lose it. Let me go do it in a way that no one will see. No, don't lose it. That's your job. That's called living. Everything else is beyond your control. You'll make more money, you'll make less money, you'll be more famous, you'll be less famous. But that's in your control. That's what life is all about. Can I take control and be a God-fearing person? So that's why the Rif and the Rush, right? We don't rule like Rabbi Eloi. I'm with you.
Permissible. Right. If you're going to sin, if you're going to, God forbid, you know, someone's going to, you know, I don't know, go to a house of ill repute in New York, and you're going to do it with a big yarmulke and your tzitzit hanging out, it's a certain Hillel Hashem. So they're kind of saying, I think, in metaphor, if you're going to do some of that, don't identify as a. You shouldn't do it. It's not giving anyone a cheder.
Okay. There are three interpretations to what's being said. One is what you just said. One is if you're going to do it already, don't do a chilul Hashem. And that he didn't give a cheder. The second one is if you wear black clothing and you cover yourself in black clothing and you go far away where no one knows you, that'll help you do tshuva. Rabbi Eloi was telling you, do this and then do what. By the time you get there, your heart, right, your heart will take you another way. But the Rif and the Rush don't say that. The Rif and the Rush say we don't rule like Rabbi Eloi because we rule that The fear of heaven is in your hands. So Rav Chanan Wasserman asks, "V'nivrei midivreihem?" But if you think a second about what they just said, it would seem that Rabbi Eli Palig, Rabbi Eli argues on that principle. V'let le'ad dechutz mirat shamayim. Rabbi Eli holds that the fear of heaven is not in your own control. That sometimes a person can say, "I don't have control. I'm going to lose it." So what's Rabbi Eli saying? V'tema gdola lomar ken. It seems a very far-fetched to say that. Da'yisot kol ha-Torah, it seems the fundamental of all of Torah is darshut netuna la'adam, man is given the control, livcho batov ulevcho, he has to choose for good or the opposite. Kakatuv, as the Pasuk says, reinatati lefanecha yom tachim et ha-tov et ha-mavet ve't ha-rav achat ha-bachayim. The Pasuk says, behold, I've given you today life and good, and death and evil, choose life. So that pasuk is the pasuk that Rambam quotes, and everyone quotes. That's the source for the idea that you have free will. So how could it be? Rabbi Eloi argues on that. So we have to wonder about that. Al kol panim, nonetheless, lefi divrei Arif, efshar liyashev divrei Rambam bigrotam. With the Rif, we could answer a Rambam in a letter. Shekatav adamin begmara ba'im yom kol miyitzrat avlad bat kol tzet mochez bat ploni leploni. The Rambam says, I know it says in the Gemara that 40 days before a baby is formed, it's proclaimed in heaven whose daughter he's going to marry. And the Rambam writes, but that's not so. The Rambam writes, who you marry is part of the mitzvos. And in heaven they give you free will, you have a choice, will you marry or won't you marry? So it's not declared in heaven who you're going to marry, because you might not marry. It's a mitzvah, that means you have free will to do or not to do. So in heaven it's not proclaimed who you're going to marry. So you read that Rambam, you wonder. The Rambam has a question on the Gemara, so he's arguing on it. So according to what we just learned in the Rif, we can answer. That the Rambam will learn that when the Talmud said it's predetermined who you're going to marry, that's going with Rabbi Eloi. Rabbi Eloi holds that certain things are not in our control. So if it's sometimes an Avera is not in our control, then sometimes a Mitzvah is not in our control. We don't rule that way. We rule that you always have control. You always have free will. And that's why the Rambam says you will... It's not pre-decided in heaven who you're going to marry, because it's not pre-decided that you will marry. It's a mitzvah, and it's up to you to do it. And so heaven is not going to declare that so-and-so is for you. Now, just so we answer up that Rambam, two things. Asking forgiveness of Rav Chanan Wasserman, little old me would suggest a little differently. I would suggest that we always have free will, and yet, sometimes a person sees he's not going to live up to it. And sometimes there are tests that the person really says, I'm not going to live up to it. And sometimes there are things beyond the person's control. We see in the Halacha, the Ramban writes, that if a person is tortured, based on the Talmud and Tractate Sanhedrin, the Talmud says that Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, if they would have been tortured, it says, Ilmale nagdua lechananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. If they would have beaten Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, they would have bowed. It says they were told, live or die, a painful death, but live or die. So that they could say, we will die, we won't bow to the idol. But if they would have tortured them, the Gemara says, they would have succumbed. And so the Ramban says, you see this idea, that torture is not, when the Halacha says you have to give up your life rather than do these transgressions, but torture is a totally different parasha. Torture is something else. So just, we're short on time. So that's number one. You see that the Talmud says that Eov was not punished for the way he spoke. He was suffering. And so Hashem doesn't hold the person accountable for what they do under duress. But that doesn't mean he couldn't have done better, and yet he's not held accountable. So I'm saying that's one angle we could look at the Rif, and we could look at Rabbi Eloi, and it doesn't have to be an either or. Can be, you see that there are circumstances that are different. And with regards to the Rambam, well, the Talmud says that a person can lose their chosen one, the one that was declared in heaven. So just because, I'm saying, how do the other commentaries answer up? They say it is decided in heaven 40 days before you're born. Yeah, but that doesn't mean you have to marry her. It means that in heaven it's been decided that she's ready for you. Now it's up to you whether you'll follow through or not. The Rambam seems to learn that if the Gemara says it's decided, then that's it. You're going to marry her. And I think the other commentaries would learn that all it means is she's waiting for you, because the Talmud says she could die, she could marry someone else. You do have to rush to marry her. The Talmud says even on Tisha B'Av, go and engage her. You don't make a party, but if you've decided she's the right one, go and engage her, because if you wait, then maybe someone else will beat you to it. Even though the Talmud says it's decided 40 days before you're born. So you see, the Talmud's willing to work with both sides. It's decided, but that doesn't mean it's going to happen. And yet the Rambam, I'm saying, learned it one way. I think the other commentaries would explain it differently.